worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Thanks for joining us today. I'm Pastor Joseph Parker, and we'll be introducing our in-studio guests in just a few moments. But as we start off, we invite you to look with us in the book of Isaiah, Isaiah chapter 55, beginning at verse 1. Again, Isaiah 55, starting at verse 1. Ho, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. And to you who have no money, come, buy and eat. Yes, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Why do you spend money for what is not bread, and your wages for what does not satisfy? Listen carefully to me and eat what is good, and let your soul delight itself in abundance. Incline your ear and come to me. Hear, and your soul shall live. And I will make an everlasting covenant with you, the sure mercies of David. Indeed, I have given him as a witness to the people, a leader and commander for the people. Surely he shall call a nation you do not know, and nations who do not know you shall run to you because of the Lord your God and the Holy One of Israel, for he has glorified you. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, and he will have mercy on him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven, and do not return there, but water the earth, and make it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. For you shall go out with joy, and be led out with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth into singing before you, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come up the cypress tree, and instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree. And it shall be to the Lord for a name, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. Verses 1 through 13, Isaiah chapter 55, the entire chapter. Lord, we thank you for your word. Thank you for the fact that every day as we take time to open your word and spend time with you one-on-one in your word, you speak words of counsel, words of wisdom, words of blessing, words of encouragement, and so, so much more. More and more, teach us and empower us to be a people that live in your word every day and draw on the grace, the strength, and encouragement, and the empowerment that comes only from your word. We thank you for the gift that is to us every day. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Thanks again for listening to the Hour of Intercession. Again, I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. Grateful to have with us in studio today, Bishop and Sister Stanley Searcy, the pastors of New Hope Missionary Baptist Church in Natchez, Mississippi. Welcome to the Hour of Intercession.
Well, thank you, Pastor Parker. I'm glad to be here.
Great to have you all with us, and we're grateful that you've been with us actually all day long.
Yeah.
You did devotion with us and have been on a number of the broadcasts, and so it's been a blessing to have you all come on. And so as we start off, Bishop, I'm going to ask if you'll just take a little bit more time to further introduce yourself and your wife and the ministry that you're part of, and then share about the fellowship that you help provide leadership for as well.
Yes. Well, first of all, my name is Bishop Searcy, well, Stan Searcy from Natchez, Mississippi, New Hope Division Center there in Natchez. And we have the wonderful opportunity to pastor some great folks. And me and my wife, she's in the studio with us. Maybe she might be able to say hello to the people.
Hello, everyone.
Okay. and we really, really appreciate the invite from Pastor Parker. I met him through a mutual friend of ours in Jackson, Mississippi, and we was there. He kind of stirred me towards pro-life. I was a pro-lifer all the time and conservative in my views, but he was able to show me the need and kind of educated me, started my education. He's still continuing it and showing me all the ins and outs about it. But we are a bishop, and we oversee 443 churches, about 10 nations. And my call is to bring unity to the body of Christ. And I was telling one of the brothers here at the station, and me and my wife have been feeling at home here, you know, around people that in my hometown they call me old fashioned. So, but I have some views, some conservative views about the Bible, but I'm liberal in my theology. The Bible says, "Whosoever will, let him come." I believe that part.
Mm-hmm.
But when we talked about the conservative views, abortions and same-sex marriages and stuff like that, I think we need, amen, to be able to get the gospel out mm-hmm. for people to get saved and set free.
That's right.
And so, upon saying that, we was here this morning, and I said, you know, I thank God for AFR because they're, if I just can use this analogy, Pastor Parker, mm-hmm. amen, they are the pen or the needle,
mm-hmm.
And my job would be to be the thread.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Mm-hmm. You're talking, you know, you guys here are dealing with some real, real good topics of conservativeness, and sometimes you take a beating, you know, for doing so.
Right.
But my job as a uniter is to come behind and to be the thread to hold the garment together. We was in Mobile, Alabama back in 1989, and I was welding, and the Lord told me, he said, look, I need for you to weld my body together and get them together in unity. He said, it's one prayer that hadn't been answered. And he says, and it seemed to be nobody is, you know, have that on their heart. And I said, what is that, Lord? And so he led me over to John chapter 17 and verse 14 through 23. And when he had told the apostles about this unity, he says, now go and spread it with others. Mm-hmm. Then he says, as the Lord and Jesus and God was one, he says, that's what his prayer was, to make us as one. Amen. And so we're after that oneness, and we're after the heartbeat of God, because that's where the glory is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and as those churches say, when all God's children get together, amen.
That's right.
What a time, man. What a time. And so we understand that in verse 23 of that same chapter, that it's a perfect oneness. Now, we would never, ever be oneness in pulling our flesh together. We can squeeze as hard as we can. We'll never be, you know. And so, in the spirit realm, and mm-hmm. like Jesus told Nicodemus, you must be born again. Mm-hmm. And so he said, that which is flesh, it speaks to the fleshly realm.
Mm-hmm.
So we have all of us have our ideas mm-hmm. and all our little beliefs and stuff. We'll never be one on that concerning this world, but we can be one on the principles of God's word.
That's right.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. As we start off, I'm going to ask Sister Circe, would you just share a word of prayer, whatever's on your heart, as we address these issues about the need for the church to really grow in the understanding of the vital place of unity?
Amen.
Okay.
Amen. Heavenly Father, we just thank you and we praise you, Lord God, for this opportunity.
Thank you, Lord.
And we thank you, Father, for the word, Lord God, that I've already gone forth, Father, and that my husband, Bishop Circe, Lord God, has mentioned about oneness. And Father, we just pray, Lord God, that the eyes of the church, Lord God, would be open, Lord God, to where we are at this particular time. And Father, hear your voice, what you're speaking to the church, Lord God, that we will come together as one, Father. But it's so important, Lord God, that we come together as one, that we will know what's on your heart, what's on your mind, what it is that you would have the church to do. And Father, lead us and guide us, Lord God, by the Holy Spirit, in the direction in which you would have for us to go. Father, we just pray, Lord God, that you would touch the hearts of your people, Lord God, that we would just come together, Lord God, and reach out, Lord God, to one another, Lord, because when we have love one for another, Lord God, only when we can have love one for another can we, Lord God, reach out to others. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, Bishop, as we move further, if you would share a little bit more about just how the Lord brought you along this journey out. Now, before you share, one of the things I think of is that, like, this is a much more important topic than many believers would really realize in it, because obviously one of the strategies of Satan has been he wants to unify darkness. And you see the devil trying to bring the forces of darkness together as one in all over the world. And yet you see the devil trying to divide the church and the people of God as much as he can. And so the devil himself recognizes the power behind unity, but we as the church need to understand, again, we're unstoppable as we learn to come together as one in the Lord. So.
Amen. Mm-hmm. Amen. You know, Pastor Parker, and that's a profound statement that you made, because one, they accused Jesus of casting out devils by Beelzebub, the Lord of the flies, or the Lord of those flies and stuff. And so it was a chief demon. And he turned and he says, a house divided can't stand.
That's right.
You know, and so what the enemy has done to the church is have altered the church from coming together. And the book of Ephesians, I think it says, we need to be every brick, you know, because we are building. You know, the churches, the church, the building structures that we have worship in is not the actual church. The church really is without walls. And every believer, every walk of life, every person that's been through the blood of Jesus. So the Lord had instructed me. He says, you know, when I left Mobile, he says, I'm sending you home. We had Bible study, in three places, and then two in Vicksburg and one in Natchez. Then we moved from there. We was just plugging people into their local church. I did not want to pastor. I fought that thing because I was evangelist, you know, and I was like, when I go and preach, it's good to get an offering and take up an offering and go to the next place, and you don't have to worry about these people whining and complaining. I'm just being honest, man. Who cleaning the toilet, you know, and cutting the grass. And I'm telling you, I was just like, man, my patience is not good for that. I just want to preach and go and leave, you know. And so, and the Lord says, no. After about 5 or 6 years, he says, open up a church. Don't ask anyone to come. He said, don't postulate anyone in any place you've been. And I did that. He said, I'll send you everything you need. But after about a year, we had about 1,000 and between 1,000 and 1,100 members. And after about a year of growth from the headquarters of Klan, we built a $3.5 million facility, and our church seats now about 2,500 folks. And it's the headquarters, and it serves for 443 churches. When we started back in 98, and I was ordained as a bishop, the Lord has shown me a little red dot. He says, son, this is you. And I had an open vision, maybe one of about three I've had in my entire life. But the whole scenery changed. And he showed me, he said, this is your church. It was a red dot. And he says, and I felt the weight of that church. And then he showed me the state of Mississippi. And he showed me churches that was plugging away with the heart of God, men's of diverse. And then that weight fell on me. And it went towards Alabama, down, dropped off in Florida, and went all the way up the East Coast, back to the West Coast, and it was like a curtain falling in every county, parish, and province. It was these little red dots. And so upon saying that,
this was a part of the vision that God was showing you.
Your open vision. It was open vision. Now, he don't deal with me a lot in open vision. He deal with me in dreams, and I love to go to sleep to sit here from him, you know. So, but and so he showed me from the top of Canada all the way down. It was like these dots just falling in every state. Then he zipped me out. It was a global vision in these dots. And he said, sons, I want you to bring, these are people of like mind and like heart that's plugging away on the backsides of the desert. Some don't have a covering, and others are connected to fellowships. And he said, I want you to have two levels. The first level is a covenant relationship where maybe an independent pastor don't have a credentialing license and need to some educational training. And also we're big in community development. We have housing program. He says, teach them how to do that. Then he says the next level is almost like a pastor coalition, a ministerial alliance. And he says that where you won't ask anyone to disown their fellowship. And where they come from.
We're going to jump in right here. We're coming up on a break. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession. Our in-studio guests, Bishop and Sister Searcy. We'll be right back.
Hey, our Holy Land tour in March is filling up. Hello, everyone. I'm Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association and American Family Radio. We only go one time a year to Israel, and that's in March. And our tour leaves the 9th and gets back on the 17th. And as I say, we don't have a whole lot of space left on this tour. So if you'd like to go with us, and see the Holy Land, you need to give us a call at 800-FAMILIES, option 5, and we'll send you a brochure. 800-FAMILIES, with an S, option 5, and leave us your name and your address. We'll send you a brochure. Or go online at twholyland.com, twholyland.com. Again, we're going to Jerusalem and Bethlehem and Jericho and Nazareth and the Sea of Galilee and the Jordan River, all those places and much, much more. So join us on this very special tour of Israel in March.
Can you say that the Lord is your delight? So much so that he could take whatever he wanted and you'd be okay with it? I read a story recently where a man was faced with some physical challenges that could possibly cost him his voice. He was filled with panic because all he had ever known was preaching and teaching. He told the Lord, "You can't do this to me." The Lord's response was, "Oh, which is it that you love, my work or me?" Phew! The Lord's rebuke is always hard to swallow. He has a way with words, doesn't he? This is just a reminder to myself and to you that we can't love the work more than we love the one who created the work. The Holy Spirit will make us conscious of those areas of our lives that need some changing, some tweaking, or some deliverance. Christ calls us to Christ-centered lives, and we can't get so caught up in the works that we forget to live as Christ would have us live. Is the Lord your delight? With a heart for the urban family, I'm today's urban woman, Toni Johnson. Connect with us at urbanfamilytalk.com.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, geologist with the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, and we know that Mount Everest is the tallest mountain in the world. Was that also covered by the waters of Noah's flood?
Chris, the Bible says that the entire earth was covered by water, but I really don't think Mount Everest existed at the time of the flood. Mount Everest, and indeed all the mountain chains in the world, are made up of ocean bottom sediments. These sediments were deposited as mud at the bottom of the flood ocean. Late in the flood, they were uplifted into our present mountain chains. In fact, at the top of Mount Everest are fossils of ocean-bottom clams. This does not mean that the floodwaters sloshed over Mount Everest. Sediments which now make up Mount Everest were deposited at the bottom of the flood ocean and then uplifted to form Mount Everest. Chris, the entire world was altered by the great flood of Noah's day. This we're told when we go back to Genesis.
You can find us on the web at www.icr.org.
Music of Covenant Church, the song Heaven on Earth. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on Urban Family Talk. Our in-studio guests today are Bishop and Sister Stanley Searcy from New Hope Missionary Baptist Church in Natchez, Mississippi. And Bishop, as we start off this segment, I'm going to ask if you'll address a question that came to us in the chat. Specifically, the question from, I think unnamed is his name. But he had a question. He asked, is it hard to be a pastor or a bishop? So would you respond to that before we move further?
Well, let me say this, and I'm going to do this as quick as I can. When I moved from the evangelistic field to become pastor, that was a great transition. Mm-hmm. Because if you can picture an evangelist being a Ferrari, mm-hmm. and a pastor being maybe a Corolla, or mm-hmm. A Camry at the max, you know, mm-hmm. it's a little slower, mm-hmm. it's a little more patient, and I had to learn, and I'm still learning, mm-hmm. you know, because my people grow me, and I grow my people, you know, with the Lord's help. Mm-hmm. A bishop is a whole different thing, and you have to be anointed to do that. The man that anointed me told me, he says, well, I'm not doing you any favors. Apostle Paul says, all the cares of the church, so when you move into a bishop's role, it's not only your local fellowship, but we have 443 churches, and really I'm being modest because we had another, Dr. Cindy Trim added another 500 churches onto us, and then another fellowship mm-hmm. has just come on board, and I got to visit all those churches, and it'll take me the next 3 or 4 years to do that mm-hmm. because I believe in seeing every pastor, you know, himself, but it's expanding, and it's a labor, but it's a labor of love, and it energized me when I'm doing it, and when the Lord is aiding me to do it. And so to answer your question, it's not hard when the anointing, you have anointing to do it. But if you just do it just to do it, and some people got a title, you know, and but they don't do the work, you know. So, but when the Lord furnishes you with the work, he'll furnish you with the anointing to do it. I hope I answered it. Yeah.
So, again, as a pastor, of course, you're serving one basic congregation, whereas as a bishop, you help to oversee many congregations. And you said 400 churches?
443 within the network that we have, really 10 countries. Mm-hmm. And then we just had a pastor out of West Palm Beach, he's actually a retired soccer player from mm-hmm. Jamaica. And the guy that made the movie Passion of Christ is actually in his church, and and so he brought all of the churches. He played ball in Switzerland and went to Olympics in Switzerland, and professional soccer player in Switzerland. He retired out of Switzerland mm-hmm. and went back, and so all of his churches he brought on.
Okay,
and so churches are coming on every day. You know,
okay, so they're steady. The fellowship that you oversee, churches are being added on an ongoing basis. Then.
Right. That's correct. Because one reason why is because, and if you ask me, mm-hmm. is because we have found the heartbeat of God. Mm-hmm. That prayer, make them one, is what God wants. And we find out what God, you know, a lot of times we do programs, but we don't do the programs to fulfill God's mission. Mm-hmm. Let thy will be done. And so, I just stumbled up on this as the Lord spake to me. He says, I need you to fulfill this. Mm-hmm. And so I'm like Job says, Pastor Parker, he says, when God gave me a word, whether it's a word in my dream or a word in the word of God, mm-hmm. I esteem that thing higher than my necessary food. Mm-hmm. And I go after it like a bulldog and I hold on to it. So.
Praise God.
Amen. Praise God. Amen.
Well, and so would it be accurate to say then that of the 400 and something churches you oversee, so you don't get to every church every year?
No, but the majority of them comes to our conference. Mm-hmm. We have a conference, international conference in Natchez, and we've been holding that for about 18 years.
So once a year or so?
Yeah, and then we have district conferences, which, like in Miami, it's got the Alabama, Georgia, South Carolina, and all of them come to the district, and then I go to the districts and meet them.
Okay.
And so, we try to get a chance to see all of them. Sometimes, people can't make the conference for some reason or another. They might be out of the country, mm-hmm. and we have to go to them because they're not able to come to us,
Okay. Mm-hmm. So it involves a lot of international traveling, though.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Well, there's one more question, and then we'll kind of move further. It says, what is the best way to grow? Maybe that's a pastor asking that question. Or what is the best way to grow your, or maybe it's a pastor to be, maybe, okay. What is the best way to grow your church?
That's a good question. That's mm-hmm. a good question. And I found out, first of all, find out the heartbeat of God. God has a desire for every community, every church, and the mission, though the word of God is centered front and center and though you're going to have some foundational truths, but the mission is different. See, the mission in Tupelo would be different from the mission in Natchez, though we would have some similarities. Mm-hmm. So find out what God wants first. Mm-hmm. And I've said this before. A cardiologist told me that if you take two hearts out and put them together and one beating on the downbeat, up and the other on the upbeat, if you touch them together, they'll start beating on the same beat. Mm-hmm. So take your ministry, find out what God is saying for that area geographically and for your ministry at that time, and let it be together. mm-hmm. with God's heartbeat. Success mm-hmm. comes. When the people start coming, don't grow the people. Don't grow the church. The people will grow the church.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of people, you don't want to build big buildings, but then you hadn't taken that time to people that come in, you know, maybe struggling and social programs, and you build them up and teach them how to go back to college and how to reinvent themselves and build the people. The people will build a ministry.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Amen. Okay. Thank you. Thank you, Dan. Mm-hmm. It looks like the person that asked the question, looks like some of the others in the chat have already ordained that person. So, Pastor Dan. All right. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Well, the questions keep coming here, Bishop.
Okay.
A question here. Within your church, how do you build that cohesiveness so people aren't left out and don't feel left out?
Oh, if we can ever close the back door. The church has a back door. People keep slipping out. Mm-hmm. Now, and I don't think we would ever, you know, just master that. But one of the things is leadership training. Mm-hmm. Leadership training. Mm-hmm. Train, and be big on training.
Mm-hmm.
Because a lot of times people might come to your church from various, different fellowships and have different concepts. And our pastor in psychology class, why do a pastor take on an assignment? See, what makes him pack up and leave, you know? And so we have different pastors, different mm-hmm. styles of pastors. Some pastors sit back and allow the congregation to do everything, and then some pastors are too heavy-handed. So,
mm-hmm.
so train your people. Take that time out. Spend that time. Let them smell you. The sheep should smell like you, and you should smell like the sheep.
Mm-hmm.
And then, mm-hmm. look at here. I'm gonna say this here because people come in, and they when you a person say they come in and help you, you keep your eyes open because they coming in to control you
to take over.
Yeah. But now you know, and you know, not all the time, but the majority of the time, that's what it is. And mm-hmm. and then what you really need to understand is this here, that. Sometimes we don't use the fivefold ministry.
Mm-hmm.
You know, pastors are just preaching every Sunday. And when they do educational training, you know, they do it all themselves. And it's good to have the fivefold ministry, you know, to come in and to train, you know. So use that. But if you train your people how to embrace people, because a lot of people don't like to make room. But new people that come in, people that come into church, they get a rough time. This is my position. I've been here, my family running this. So train mm-hmm. them how to make room, because look into the fields for their white unto harvest. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Okay, then.
Yeah.
Okay, well, Bishop, would you continue to share more about just your journey as the Lord brought you to basically lay the vision he's put before you and as you've been moving down the road with that vision?
And Pastor Mark, I want to first thank you and this wonderful network and Bertie, your wife,
mm-hmm.
because this is my assignment. My assignment is to bring the body of Christ together in unity, mm. To be able to, at this day and time, all of the, with the elections and all of the things, we are so divided. Mm. And I told somebody this morning, I've been telling them, I say, I believe in my heart of hearts that God allowed Donald Trump to be president.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the reasons why I believe, there's many reasons, but one of the reasons why is to show us what's in our hearts.
Hmm.
This nation is divided.
That's right. That's
and we right. have to, and we as believers have to do this. So when he spake to me, we moved into the headquarters of the Klan, and then the lady that had the building invited me, her and her son, into their family, and we began to visit them, and it was carrying Klan members. And the Lord showed me right then and there, you know, when I walked in, they called me Buckwheat. And I said, well, so if I'm Buckwheat, somebody's spanking all. And he showed me how to deal with them, and they embraced me, and I'm their family right now in their minds.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's what the gospel will do.
Mm-hmm.
Because the book of Galatians says, in Galatians 3:27 and 28, it says, and many of you that has been baptized into Christ have been baptized, and well, I'm sorry, has put them on. In other words, the baptism into Christ, the Holy Spirit is the agent in the substance is Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Water baptism is man is the agent, comprehend the substance of water. But when you baptize into the body of Christ, well then, the spirit is the agent and the substance is Christ. We'll put them on. If any man is in Christ, he has a new way of thinking. He don't think about all the time about race and all the diversities and all the issues. We don't major in minor things. So the Lord has allowed me with this organization to be able to focus on the major things and bring people together. And verse 28 in that third chapter of Galatians was saying, neither is there Jew or Gentile. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, hey, neither are bond are free, you know. Mm-hmm. Slavery are those that are out. Back in those days, it was really slavery, male or female. We're all one. That's what he wants. He wants the heart of the church to become one. Because the enemy knows that once we stop marching in Black Lives Matter, and once we stop talking about birth movements and all, once we get back to the gospel and let Jesus be on the throne, no matter who's in the White House, mm-hmm. no matter who's in the White House, and we get together, we can become one of the most powerful tools, amen, in this nation. The church has power. Mm-hmm. Yes, that's it right. does. Yes, it does. And so, that's my assignment, is to bring together, and the Lord has anointed us to be able to do that. Amen. Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, Bishop, I think of this too, that like it's, you pointed this out, you know, like the church has great power and influence in the world. You know, sadly, often the church itself, we don't see ourselves that way. And for many people, they felt like things rise and fall on whoever was elected. But the reality is the church always has been more powerful than the government, if we would see and understand that. And the prayers of the church, when the church is doing its job, when we're preaching the gospel, God's work gets done, but also society is blessed when yes. the church is being the church, too.
Yes. And, you know, it was always meant for the church to speak to the government, mm-hmm. and right. not the government to the church.
That's right.
Amen. See, and, you know, we know all down through the Bible, Joseph and David and all of, amen. But David, he held a dual role. You know, he was government and the king and priest, you know, but that's what God wants us to be. But it's always we're to speak. Mm-hmm. And I think we'd have reversed that. We're listening to, you know, to the headship, and we have placed our politicians basically up there where God is at, you know. Mm-hmm. And I'm telling you, Hillary Clinton ain't God.
That's right. That's right.
Bill Clinton, though he did a little something on the budget, he ain't God. Mm-hmm. And I found out a lot of those stuff. I ain't going to talk about it on this show, but today I was informed in here. But
well, and you know, Bishop, it's powerful to really look at so many of the details in the world we live in. But, you know, we're just talking about, like, King David, for example. Mm-hmm. You know, it's so powerful for us to always look to the Word of God for guidance, for wisdom, for perspective. And that's a good example to point to David. Of course, David is a towering figure in all the Word of God.
Yes.
And for a powerful reason. Now, of course, God is the number one figure.
Yes.
But next to God, next to Christ, David is huge.
Yes.
And you have to ask the question, why is David so big, Old and New Testament? And even Jesus is referred to as the Son of David. Well, there's a reason. He was a man in a position of great influence, but he was a man after God's own heart.
Yes.
And God wants one of the messages is God wants us to understand all of us are to be men and women after God's heart to fulfill the call of God upon our lives.
Yes. And that's where you touched on something so profound, because people are falling out, Christians, mm-hmm. over this nation, mm-hmm. because Trump won and somebody else lost. Mm-hmm. You know, Christians are marching in the streets because, you know, Trump won and somebody else lost. Mm-hmm. You see what I'm saying? Yeah. Well, we'll
pick up on the other side of the break. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession. Our in-studio guests, Bishop and Sister Circe of New Hope Missionary Baptist Church in Natchez, Mississippi. We'll be right back after this break.
The Awakening, shaking believers out of our slumber and calling us to action. The Awakening, encouraging Christians to rise up and stand, though all around us are falling. The Awakening, hosted by a warrior for the Word of God and for the Constitution, Bishop E.W. Jackson.
I am proud. got to say that I am not an African-American. I am an American.
Tune in to Urban Family Talk, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday mornings at 9 Central for The Awakening. Abraham Hamilton III.
But Abraham, the racism today is equally as bad as it was in the 1860s. Foolishness! Racism is simply an extension of the corrupt sin nature that is inherited from Adam. Oppression, if you will, it goes all the way back to two cats named Cain and Abel.
Listen to Abraham Hamilton III on the Hamilton Quarter, weekdays at 3 o'clock Central on Urban Family Talk.
Dr. Tony Evans says Christians aren't meant to be wrapped up in trouble. They're supposed to be wrapped up in something else. He explains what it is as we spend 2 minutes with Tony.
Many of us in our home, on our bed, have comforters. Comforters. These are the thicker blankets. Often on top, these are the thicker blankets designed in a cold situation to provide you some warmth. The comforter that you have on your bed does not, in and of itself, change the weather. It changes the effect of the weather on you. It's a comforter because if you wrap yourself in it, the weather that's surrounding you has no longer the final say-so to you. When God allows a problem, he not only sends the problem, he sends something else with it. Paul says, with the affliction, he provides a comforter. So in every affliction, trouble, hurt, pain, distress, difficulty of life you may be facing, there is a comforter on the bed. With the trouble, there's a blanket. Now, it's possible to spend so much time in a cold room talking about how cold it is that you don't pull up the comforter. Not because the comforter isn't there, it's just that your focus is on the temperature in the room. He says, with the affliction comes the comfort.
Dr. Evans digs deeper into this subject in his teaching series, Comforting the Afflicted, available online at tonyevans.org. And be sure to join us next time for 2 Minutes with Tony.
I know you can do anything.
Forever Jones, the song You Can Do Anything. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on Urban Family Talk. We have as our in-studio guest today Bishop Stanley and Sister Brenda Searcy, the pastors of New Hope Missionary Baptist Church in Natchez, Mississippi. And Bishop, in this last segment, want to be sure to give you time to cover whatever else the Lord has on your heart to cover, but also, too, we're going to spend some time praying for the church to really grow in the understanding of the vital and foundational place unity must play if we're going to be the church that God has called us to be. So I'll let you just go ahead, and whatever additional things you're wanting to address, we want to give you that opportunity at this time.
And thank you. Thank you, Pastor Parker. And I want to say to the listening audience that the Lord, you know, like I was saying, I was a welder before I went back to seminary school. And he says, I want you to sew my body back together. And he gave me this thing that if we do everything in his name, mm-hmm. and that's not a Jesus-only statement, it is a foundational statement upon him. That's it's right. Not for just one specific denomination. It's for all denominations. But Colossians 3:17 says, whatsoever you do in word, amen, whatever you do in word or in deed, do it all in the name of Jesus.
That's right.
So if you're pushing our agendas that we have, and we all have our agendas and beliefs, let's do it in Jesus' name. Mm-hmm. Because what it's going to do is going to keep Jesus out front and our candidates behind Jesus.
That's right.
The candidates should never be in front of Jesus. Mm-hmm. It should always be behind Jesus. Who do you want me to pray for? Mm-hmm. Who, you see what I'm saying? Then, secondly, indeed, whatever work we do, mm-hmm. whether it's in the church, and we was talking about, you know, most of the work is really on the outside of the church. Mm-hmm. Because when we come to church, Pastor Parker, we worship. Mm-hmm. But when we leave church, we should be serving.
That's right. That's right.
So we got it in reverse. I'm going to service. No, you're going to worship. Mm-hmm. And then when you leave out of there, you should put that to practice. And mm-hmm. so a lot of us really don't keep Jesus in the word and deed part of our lives, because if it was, and I'm not, you know, a lot of us are, but it's, we can get better. Let me put it that way. Mm-hmm. And what I mean by that is if we can do that, then we'll learn how that God, according to John 3:15, amen, and whosoever believe in him shall not perish. Mm-hmm. That means every individual on the face of the earth, whatever walk of life become, they will have eternal life. And then we know, I call it, you know, the foundation of Christianity itself. Mm-hmm. For God so loved the world that whosoever believe in him, what's the God so loved the world? Amen, that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in shall not perish, but have everlasting life. And but this is what I want to get to. We know in verse number 17 that he sent his son to the world, mm-hmm. not to condemn the world, but the world through him might be saved.
Might be saved.
So, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Well, Bishop, I was just going to say, you know, part of what you're touching on is so important for the church to be reminded of, in that, like, no matter what else we do, when it all boils down to it, we need to understand this, that when we leave this world, our politics don't matter. Whether we're Republican, Democrat, rich, poor, black, white, Hispanic, whoever, the only thing that matters is, did you know Jesus Christ?
That's it.
Because
that's
nothing it. Else comes yeah. even close to being important. Yet, sadly, we live in a world where many people are caught up in so many things, and it's almost like the gospel is insignificant to them.
Yes.
But as the church, that's to be at the forefront of everything we do.
Well, let me show you this, and the way you're talking is so true. During the election, I have you know, born in 43 churches that I immediately see, and then other bishops have joined on with us. But one of the pastors has been with me for a long time. She was a she's a Trump advocate, and then I got some churches that they're part of Al Sharpton's team, and so I got to, and so they was trying to get me in that, you know, and I was like, I'm not going to touch that. They was like, what you think? I said, well, first of all, we're not going to allow that into the fellowship. We stand on conservative values, and we're not into that area. We address the issues that we're going to be dealing with, the abortion issue and the homosexual issue and all that, forward in that. But I'm not going to tell. So the conservative Christian, she's real spiritual, and she says, and we got all, you know, we got, you know, just all type of people you wouldn't believe. But what happened was, she said, if somebody votes for Trump, they're going to hell. Oh, no. If they vote against Trump, they're going to hell. And she says, Bishop, what do you think about that? I say, well, I say, Jesus hung on a cross, and he broke the curse off of all of us.
That's right.
I say, now, if they vote for Hillary and she got horns on her head and they just was deceived by her, I say that she's covered by the blood. And so you see how far we can go with this, okay? And so, and then I want to touch on that again. John 3:17, and she said, thank you, Bishop. What is it? She was humble. She said, thank you, Bishop. I said, and so, but John 3:17, it said, God sent his son in the world not to condemn the world, but the world through him might be saved. That's the entire world. Now, listen to me on this, because we have placed our politics above our Christian stand. I am a Christian first and foremost. And then I'm a conservative Christian. Amen. And then you see, and so Psalms 146 and 1 through 5 says, praise ye the Lord, praise ye the Lord, O my soul. And then it says here, amen, while I live, will I praise the Lord. I will sing praises unto my God while I have any being. Okay. And verse number 3 says, put not your trust in princes, nor in the son of man, in whom there is no help. Amen. And I'm just going to say that. His breath goes forth, in other words, in return, back to the earth. He perished. In other words, he can't save himself. How are you going to save you?
That's right.
So now, I believe that we need to be the needle. We need to keep the issues, because I believe the church needs to speaks to the political leaders, and we have a voice, and we should be one of the biggest lobbyists to tell them, because our vote matter. See what I'm saying? But even after they lie to us and tell us all that they're going to do, we still need to be Christians.
That's right. But before our time runs out today, we're going to spend some time praying. I'm going to ask if Sister Circe will start us off, just whatever's on your heart as in view of everything we've covered today. And then, Bishop, if you'll pray as well, just to really pray for believers to grow an understanding of what it means to be the church and how we live that out.
Amen. Amen. Heavenly Father, we thank you and we praise you, Lord God, for
Jesus.
Thank you, Lord. Father, that you sent Jesus, Lord God. And
Thank you, Lord,
because of him and what he did for us on Calvary, over 2,000 years ago, the church was birthed.
Yes.
And Father, you have placed Christians, born-again believers, in all aspects of life, all aspects of society, some in prominent positions and some in not-so-prominent positions. Father, let us not forget why we're there. Let us not forget who it is or who it was that placed us there. Let us remember, Lord God, and let us keep our focus on you.
Thank you, Lord.
And Father, may we continue to speak, Lord God, and show forth your glory in those areas, Father, in Jesus' name. Let us not get so tied to this world and lose focus on where we're headed. And Father, you've called the church, you've called the body for such a time as this, to show forth your glory. Not to show who we are, but show forth who you are. And Father, may we continue to grow. May we not stay as babe, Father, in the spiritual realm, but may we grow Lord God, and be the people that you're calling us to be at this time.
Yes, Lord.
Let us come forth together in unity, Lord God.
Yes.
And let not division, Lord God, be there. But let the walls of, Lord God, of race, let the walls of denomination be torn down.
Thank you.
And Father, may you come forth at this time, Father.
Yes.
But Father, when we come together as one, then the world will see you and not us. In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name. Amen. And Father, we just thank you right now.
Thank you.
For Pastor Parker and his wife, his lovely wife, and this wonderful network.
Thank you, Lord. Jesus.
That is doing a great job.
Thank you, Lord. Jesus.
And we pray for their strength and for continuance. And then, Lord, let individuals understand this wonderful network.
Thank you, Lord.
That of AFR and all of the different branches that you have placed them here. Oh God, to be the needle that's sewing the garment together.
Yes, the tough
questions have to be addressed.
Thank you, Lord.
And yes, we have to hold people accountable.
Thank you, Lord.
But let us, as the thread, the rest of us pastors throughout, oh God, lay down all of the isms and schisms and continue to love one another, to come together. Mm. And to say we need to stand together on what God's word says and not what we have allowed the government to speak back to us. Lord, let your glory arise.
Yes.
In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. And Father, I do thank you and I praise you for Bishop and Sister Cersei. And thank you, Lord, for the work you've called them to. And thank you for all the church fellowships that are part of the fellowship that they're help to oversee. And Lord, thank you for the church of the Lord Jesus Christ all over the world.
Yes, yes, yes.
Father, flood us afresh with the spirit of unity,
yes.
The spirit of love, the spirit of grace, the spirit of mercy. Empower us more and more to simply keep our focus and our eyes on Jesus Christ and to walk so that more and more the heart of Jesus rises big in us, the thinking, the sight, the perspective of Jesus, and that we would more and more love people first and foremost rather than see them as people in this camp or that camp or this group or that group would recognize they're people for whom you died on the cross. Thank you, Lord, for the chance to love them with an everlasting love. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Well, Bishop and Sister Cersei, thank you all so much for being with us today. And again, would you share once more your website if someone wants to get information about you or the church fellowship that you serve?
Yes, it's nhvisioncenter.org, nhvisioncenter.org, ikccglobal.org, and hit us up, and we're on Facebook and all, so we'll be looking to hear from you. God bless you.
All righty. Thank you again for listening. Join us again next time for the Hour of Intercession.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of Urban Family Talk, Urban Family Communications, or American Family Association.
Urban Family Talk. Urban Family Talk.